Coming up on today's show.
You're never ready. You know, like a lot of times, well, I'm not ready yet to get out there and do it. I would say to really just know you're never really going to be ready and you just need to do it, you know?
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New York, my guest is an award-winning singer, songwriter, DJ, producer, and label owner who has had 2 Billboard number one singles. She has received 3 Grammy nominations and has collected awards from the prestigious International Dance Music Awards, the International Songwriting Competition, and topped Billboard's Most Played Dance Songs of the Decade chart. Her tours have touched the shores of 6 continents with landmark shows at international events such as the Beijing Summer Olympics. Last month, she released a track that features a collab with Jerome Isma AE, and on Spotify alone, she not only has approximately 487,000 monthly listeners, but more than 48.6 million streams on her top 5 songs alone, plus her official YouTube channel has a combined total of almost 4.5 million video views. You've been hearing a song of hers called All the Way. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Jess.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for making time to speak with me today. And let's get started by having you share with the audience first about the song of yours that was just playing called All the Way.
Yes, that is actually a song I guess I wrote about 2 years ago. I've been working on an artist album for a while, and that's one of the songs that will be included on it. It might be a little bit of an update when the album comes out, but I just love that song. It's a little bit different. You know, I've been releasing some more crossover things the past couple of years between the dance work that I've been doing, because I write a lot of different things, and pop, R&B, soul, rock is kind of in my soul. So that song is just kind of like a song about going, you know, the distance for someone, finding something, taking the chance on forgetting how you're supposed to be and kind of giving it all because you believe in something.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. So, of course, we all have our own different interpretations of songs, but is that meant to be pretty universal in terms of somebody could interpret it relationship-wise, somebody can interpret it as, hey, the music business, a manager, an A&R person that says, I want to take a chance on this person. I want to go all the way with them. I see a lot of potential.
It definitely could, because the words change towards the end, and it kind of like goes down to the things you would do, like really bare your soul. And I think in the world that we live in, especially in the music business, I have definitely gone all the way. So yeah, I think you could interpret it in many different ways. I mean, I write a lot of things about relationships and love, but you know, I think it is definitely universal.
Yeah, and I think you have many years of experience of having this happen firsthand, but I'm sure you will have people that will contact you about that song and say, I love your song All the Way because, and they'll give you a reason that maybe you could have never imagined. And you go, great, at least it spoke to you.
Yeah, no, totally. I get that so much. I love it. I've been rehearsing it because I plan to do it in, you know, my shows. I'm working on another show to support the album. And I just love it because you really, when I'm singing it, I really feel that emotion because it has that sort of an angst to it as well.
I like it. As the audience heard in the intro, you wear a lot of different hats. For starters, I would love to start with hearing about your approach to songwriting and what makes a song truly resonate with you.
Well, I mean, it's usually a pretty much a blank sheet of paper for me. A lot of the times I just kind of go with the moment with myself too. I mean, when I'm working on a song, I'm very particular with things that I like and I don't like, you know? So I'm kind of strict with that. If it resonates with me, you know, sometimes I get very emotional when I'm writing it. Sometimes I, you know, I feel like I have to cry. Sometimes I feel, you know, I just really feel it in my gut, especially with many songs that I've written. I've kind of even felt like how people would feel them, you know? So I kind of just gauge it on my inner voice, knowing that if I feel something from it, I think that somebody out there is going to feel it too.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're saying is that if you're writing just for the sake of writing, it's probably not going to move you very much. And you're going to go, okay, well, tomorrow or next week.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that. You know, I've been in situations where I've had to write for someone else, or I've been given, you know, sort of angles of what to write about. It's very restricting, but it can be challenging. You know, the challenge, I welcome the challenge. I've definitely, the more years that I've written, the more I have an open mind to things a little bit more than when I started.
Are you someone that writes by yourself exclusively? Do you do some co-writes? What does that look like?
I do write by myself a lot. I start every day, I'm writing ideas, things, looking for, you know, little gems of ideas and inspiration that I collect. But I write with many different people. I have on my album, I'm writing with Richard Robson, which I've collaborated with many times in my life. But when I write with the DJs, I'm always writing with them and we go back and forth. I mean, a lot of times I'm in charge of the lyrics and things like that, but we go back and forth on lyrics sometimes as well. I love writing with people. I've been in writing camps, writing groups with like 10 people in the room, which is really interesting.
Wow.
I really loved it because it's interesting when you start vibing together and you've got 10 people in the room. It's amazing the way the you're just working off of each other. That was very exciting for me to do that. But I do tend to write a lot by myself. But then I always love to bring in somebody as well.
Now, because in the intro, I did not mention, say, guitar or piano, something of that nature. When it comes to melody, are you writing on guitar or piano? And I just don't know that you play one of those, or is it I'm humming it into my iPhone or singing a little something into my iPhone? How do you capture what you're thinking of melodically?
I do play piano and I play guitar more to accompany myself, you know, and I played in my bands that way. So I'm not like the greatest player, but I totally can play. I have my own way of playing when I sing and play together. So I always played piano, and that's how I originally started writing songs on piano. I've tried, you know, I'll go for walks, I'm in the shower or something, and I get this melody or I have a dream and I try to capture it on my iPhone, and it's never worked out that way. But it's such a great thing if I could. So mostly, yes, I'm always playing with piano or guitar.
Now, see, I'm actually happy to hear you say that, because I feel like the absolute overwhelming majority of guests who tell me about their songwriting process say, I just sing it into my iPhone. I have a voice recorder app and I just put it in there and then I come back to it later. So it's refreshing to hear someone say, that just doesn't work out for me.
Yeah, it never has worked out. I'm always listening to it back saying, what is that?
This had to be me coming out of a dream state.
Yes, it's so funny.
On a good number of episodes of this show that have been released so far in 2025, there seems to be this recurring theme, which you just started to go there. It's collaborations. I'm thinking of Philip Bowen on episode 571, and then Jan Close, who talked about a lot of international collaborations in episode 574. Jess, what do you look for in a collaborator? And then how do those experiences shape you as an artist? Because you do a number of collaborations.
Well, I think the most important thing is just feeling comfortable with the person. I think a little bit by nature, I am sort of shy. You wouldn't believe it, but I am. And it can be very, unnerving to, especially write. I've written with people I've never met before, you know, when I've had certain deals, or that they just put you with people who are in town, like you said, from Europe or something, and you don't know each other and you're just in a room doing something. So, I definitely, especially with the DJ artists that I work with, I love communication, especially some of the DJs I've worked with in the studio. You don't always get that, lucky to be in the studio with somebody these days. You're mostly working back and forth on the internet or WhatsApp or something. And, communication, I work with people who just kind of like don't communicate at all, or aren't, they don't want to talk about it as much or share or have as much of an open mind. I mean, yeah, I do come across people sometimes like that. But for me, if they make you feel comfortable, if they're open-minded to ideas, if you can have fun with them, obviously, it's wonderful when you kind of meet someone who kind of has a similar, or just knows what you're thinking, when you could discuss ideas and come up. It's wonderful to write lyrics with someone when you can just go back and forth and kind of, encourage each other and inspire each other and get some really cool things down. So I just try to look for people who are respectful and nice and want to know, you want to listen, want to share.
I'm picturing in my head that when you are working with a DJ, that there's probably a beat that's given to you, which to me seems very different from you sitting down by yourself and writing on piano or guitar. Am I onto something there? And if so, just describe for us how different that is, that creative process to start from a beat instead of you by yourself at home with a guitar or with piano.
A lot of times I just write the song and sort of do a demo production of the song and do all of the vocals and all of the effects and send it to them, and they put in a track. So a lot of times that happens, but it's not always like that. Some of my big ones, like I did a song called Fall Into You with Cosmic Gate, which is one of my big tracks. They gave me a track. Now I like really simple things. I usually tell people to give me a very simple, because I don't want to, if someone gives me something with a lot of beat and a lot of production, I usually just play the chords on the piano and write the song, like strip it back, and then I put it in, So I have tricks that I kind of do with myself, because a lot of times I can't really write to a full produced track. So I always tell the people to give me something very minimal. But it is very different. And sometimes it's really hard. I have a track that I've been working on with some people that I've had a lot of success with, Allie and Fila, and they gave me a track like over a year and a half ago, and I just couldn't get it. And I don't like when I can't get something, so I never quite, destroy it. But I went through many things, and then I finally struck an idea that I liked, because the other ones probably weren't bad, but I didn't like them. And I sort of went, I finished it finally, and I said it to them. I didn't think they were going to like it, and they really liked it. So it's just like you have to try different things. When I'm working with a beat, I usually, just try to close my eyes and be alone, and I just groove on it for a long time until I find a, like a piece that, and I listen to them back. I kind of do this over days, and then I listen to it back, and if I find something in there that I sing somewhere when I'm walking or doing something, I'm like, oh, okay, that's something. I have something. Then I can start there. So, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's a great description, because, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, what I think I hear you saying is that if it's overproduced, then, dare I say, it's stifling your creativity. In other words, if it's the exact opposite, there is a lot of room for you to embellish and to say, okay, I can really kind of move into this track and do my own thing with it, as opposed to, gosh, this has got an awful lot of production on it. I kind of have to see what I can peel back just to try to put something of my own to it.
Right, to fit yourself in there. I mean, some people are really good at it. It's a little harder for me, because I think it points you in a direction, which maybe they want you to go. There's a lot of melodies, there's a lot of things, and I don't want to just copy it. I want to kind of see where to go. But I know people do it both ways. I just think I have more success when I have a little more room to play.
Yeah. Folks, this episode is releasing less than 2 weeks before I head to the Windy City, as I will be in Chicago for Podcast Movement Evolutions, which starts on March 31st. Although it ends on April 3rd, that is also the same day that the Las Vegas Writers Conference begins, and since I'm going to be a speaker there, it's April 3rd to the 5th, I do not see myself still being in Chicago for the last day of Podcast Movement Evolutions. I will, however, be extending my stay in Las Vegas because there's some nice overlap there in that the event I'm speaking at, and you can go to lasvegaswritersconference.com for details, by the way, that ends, as I said, on April 5th, and that is the first day of the five-day NAB show, the National Association of Broadcasters. So as always, if you or someone you know are or will be in one of these cities at one of these events, by all means, please get in touch so we can meet and I can personally say thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. I have yet another event that is in the process of getting added to my travel calendar for 2025. So continue to listen to the podcast, read the weekly e-newsletter, and follow on Instagram. I would love to meet you face-to-face somewhere out on the road. Jess, speaking of being out on the road, wow, from massive festival stages to intimate club shows, you have seemingly done it all. What are some of your most memorable tour moments, but also take us into that live show? How do you bring your music to life on stage?
Wow. Well, I've been very blessed. I had no idea, how my career would bring me all over the world. I really have been so many places. Some of my favorite places, I played in Jordan. Mm. Outside of the capital, and they put down these rugs and we were inside of the mountains lit up. Whoa. It was amazing. I've played on the beaches of Byblos in Lebanon. I've played in Egypt. I did the Formula One races in Malaysia. As I played in Beijing for the Olympics. I mean, amazing, some crazy things.
Fantastic.
And just, it's so exciting. So, I started doing mostly just singing, but because I ventured in, I also have a radio show called Unleash the Beat. And as I was reading about your website and all the podcasts you've done every week since 2014, I believe.
Yes.
I've been doing it the same. I'm on episode 642.
Wow.
So I've been doing it every week, so I understand how that goes. But I, started DJing along the way because I am in that genre, and so for the last 10 years I've been DJing and singing. So I do a couple different things, and it's kind of interesting to pull it together because I do shows from 45 minutes to 2 hours or more at times.
Wow.
So when I'm DJing and singing, I have so many songs, but I do like to play other people's songs as well, and I kind of take you on a journey with my show where I play, some things from my career. I mean, obviously I have a lot of big songs which my fans want to hear, so I try to get those in. But I also try to take it, make it like a little bit of a journey, and I am DJing and running around the stage and singing. So it's quite a exciting show. And also I've been rehearsing. I have a more pop R&B show and an acoustic show that I also have been doing, because I used to have also electronic, I did my show, but I did it with a drummer and guitar player. I've done all different things. I mean, it's amazing, electronic music. It really, my big songs in the dance world really come to life with the instruments as well.
But I think that variety that you're describing, whether it's 45 minutes, whether it's 2 hours, whether it's acoustic, whether it's DJing, probably helps keep it fresh for you. And it's not tough to get up for, I got to give them a great show, no matter which one of those it is, because there's so much to choose from that you go, great, I'm excited tonight. I'm doing this because 2 nights ago I did that.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, it was interesting, especially not coming specifically from the dance world, when I did have a big song, As the Rush Comes, the crowds are so amazing and so happy and so, supportive. And it's just been really an adventure doing these shows along the way, all the many years and stuff. So, you know, I feel very lucky to do that and to also try to figure out where I'm going, you know, with it, because that's why I've been doing a little bit more of my artist album and stuff. I'm trying to transition a little bit back to where I came from because I love writing those types of songs. And I think you contacted me because I did like my Christmas song. I do my Christmas songs. I love classic music. I love to sing really anything. So
yeah, variety is the spice of life, right?
Yeah.
Last month in Los Angeles, the Grammy Awards were handed out. Back in the intro, I mentioned that you have been nominated for a Grammy three times. Tell us what that meant for your career, how it has influenced your approach to music, to the industry.
Well, I would love, you know, I would love to have been nominated. And so when it happened, it was amazing. I mean, the first time was with BT and the second time was with songs with Tiesto. And then I was nominated for a song I did called Hold On my record label. My new record label. And I mean, it's incredible to actually see the inner workings. I did the carpet. I did the radio row before the Grammys. I did all the, you know, parties before and after. There's a lot of things you do. It's not just go to the Grammys, you know. So it was really exciting to see all that and to, you know, walk the carpet and to be part of that. And I feel very honored that I've been recognized in that way. And I still have more to come. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, especially living in Hollywood, too. You know, it's such a music town. And I think, you know, there's just so much going on at all times. There's so many musicians and songwriters. I think living in LA and just, you know, being in this business and seeing the changes and has, you know, it's definitely shaped my ideas of being an artist, because you have to be not only an artist, but, you know, you have to be the performer and the business person, and you have to be very strategic with things as well. So I think it's shown me a lot of things, you know, being part of these different shows and awards and things like that.
But let's face it, and I remember this is way back in November of 2021, on episode 406, my guest was Ricky Duran. He was talking about he had just been the runner-up on season 17 of The Voice, and I kind of rallied behind him, and I said, there's a whole long, 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 long line of people who would love to be able to say that they were the runner-up. And in a case like that, that's so high profile, there's nothing to hang your head about by saying I was the runner-up, because that means there was only one person that got further on that show than you. And my point was that I'm sure it has opened a lot of doors for him. And yes, obviously you want to get one and actually win, but to be able to say you've been nominated for a Grammy three times, that's going to get people's attention. All these other things that you've done are amazing. And I think anybody's ears are going to perk up when they hear about all the touring that you've done and the other awards that you've gotten. But the minute you say, I've been nominated for a Grammy three times, they go, you have my attention.
Yeah. No, it definitely. It's so funny because I don't pay so much attention to those things. I guess I should. You know? I mean, I'm not always focused on it, but I feel very grateful and very, you know, that I've been able to be part of it, for sure. But I guess it's easier for other people to say it than I don't go around saying it myself. You know,
that's a great sign of humility, though.
Well, you've got so many things to think of and do all the time. It's like, especially, you know, now, I mean, I am an independent artist, and so you just have so many things that you're doing all the time.
No doubt, no doubt. I wonder, after years of success in the electronic music scene, one of the challenges, I would think, would be continuing to push yourself artistically and stay ahead of the curve, because it is such an ever-changing industry. How do you accomplish all of that?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, you just have to be... I listen to a lot of music. I'm in my world, you know, in the dance world, but also in the pop world. I mean, I'm constantly, you know, current with things that are going on. I mean, you can't stay in your bubble, you know. You kind of have to be on top of what's going on, especially with everything changing and the way we make music too. You know, just it's a different business. It's changing. TikTok, you've got like a million things to do, so many platforms to deal with. But I think I just try to be authentic and unique in my own way, and to be, you know, consistent and disciplined with myself. And, you know, you have to put out a lot of material because it's interesting when you put out a song, you know, how quickly it's in the world and they're on to the next thing. You know, people's attention spans are very, they aren't that long anymore. So you really have to have your schedules and your releases lined up, and you have to be ahead of yourself, really. So I think you just have to be on top of things and know what's going on.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New York by award-winning singer, songwriter, DJ, producer, and label owner, Jess. Visit her official website at officialjess.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Last month, she released a track called Come Alive, which features a collab with Jerome Isma AE. You can get her original music a few different ways. On her official website, tap or click into the store section and then use the CD/vinyl tab in there, or get her music digitally from the likes of Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, and more. She is even on SoundCloud, which is one of the platforms that this show is available on. As for social media, look for the logos at the top of officialjess.com to follow and engage with her on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. If you're looking to connect with me, there is a platform called Minect, M as in Michael, I-N-N-E-C-T, kind of like connect. It's actually an app. You can send me questions on there and either get a text response or a recorded video response, or you can book a time for us to have a one-on-one video call through their app. The fastest way, in my opinion, for you to take advantage of this is I have a Linktree, and of course that's linktr.ee, and then it's /NowHearThisInc, H-E-A-R. Hit me up on there, and I will be happy to be in touch with and help you. Jess, I'm always eager to have some teaching moments on Now Hear This Entertainment. Can you share lessons you have learned throughout your career and what advice you would give to up-and-coming vocalists and songwriters?
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. It was funny because somebody came to me the other day with some questions that was starting out. I was thinking, and I think I'm learning still, even after all this I've been through. I mean, I used to say you have to have thick skin and this and that, which you do. But I think what's important to me now is, I mean, as long as you have a product and, you know, you're being authentic and you have your music, I'd say, you know, you're never ready. You know, like a lot of times, well, I'm not ready yet to get out there and do it. I would say to really just know you're never really going to be ready, and you just need to do it, you know?
Wow.
Because, I mean, I even tell myself that all the time with certain things. And because I think you have to get out there and do it in front of people, and you'll learn along the way, you know? And it's like, it's so important. I really think that's one of the, you know, I wish when I started out, you know, with certain things that have taken me longer to do than others, it's like, you know, it's not ready yet. Somebody had called me and they had like an EP and they were looking to shop their deal. And I'm like, you know, it's like you really kind of have to now, because we have so much control of our own music and our careers, you can distribute it yourself. You can get it out on the portals. You know, you have to start somewhere. You have to start your branding. You have to start getting people to know who you are. And if you can put it out, release it, if you can get out there and perform it, you know, I think you kind of learn along the way. I think it's important to have a good team of people, you know, those people that believe in you, that will be honest with you. You know, there'll be criticism along the way, but you definitely need people who are going to believe in you and help you, because you can't do it alone, really. Collaborate. I think it's really, really one of the key things, you know, collaboration, find people who are doing it, get out there and try to meet them. You know, there's so many ways to try and connect with people. It doesn't always work, but we have those tools to do that. Obviously, you know, it's a big one is to believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing, you know, believe in your music. If you don't really believe in it, it's hard to sell it.
Yeah. Hard to get other people to believe in it.
Yeah. It's like it's when you think something's great or, you know, and other people agree with you, then, you know, it's just so much easier when, you know, it's like something, if I half believe in something or I fully believe in something, I can really, you know, promote it so much better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't believe in it, it's going to come through and people are going to go, well, how do you expect me to believe in this if you can't even convince me that you believe in it yourself?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. I mean, you could be so, you know, convince somebody very easily when you really love what you're doing. So I think that's very important. I mean, and then there's many other things like business-wise, if you're going to collaborate. I mean, you know, I've learned my lessons along the way with, you know, contracts and just simple contracts with people on paper, you know, your splits, your, I mean, it's a little bit more down the line, but I think you have to be very on top of everything because it'll haunt you down the line. You know, I've been, I had something where like I even did a contract and then they didn't put my name on it.
Oh my.
This happens all the time. So, you know, just to be, especially when you're starting out, I think it's important because you have this, once you start releasing a lot of music, there's so many things to do with the music and so many societies you have to join. So there's a lot of learning that you have to do. You can't just go into it blindly, but there's a lot of stuff out there that you can look into to teach you about how to register your songs. You have to join ASCAP or BMI. You know, these are all really important things if you really want a career in music.
This is all great advice. And I like, there's two things in particular that you said. You know, number one, if you start getting things in writing from day one, then it'll just be a habit to you. You'll be able to, when someone comes to you and says, well, you know, it's me. So, I mean, we just, no, I know it's you. I know we're friends. I know we've known each other a long time, but we got to put this in writing, protect both of our best interests. And getting back to the first one that you said, you know, which is to just do it, just release it. And, you know, you're never going to be ready. There's so many people, and I'm sure you've met tons of them, Jess, who, you know, the song is never finished and they never get anything released because they're constantly overthinking it or, you know, it's just not done. I need to spend more time and they constantly rewrite. And the fact of the matter is there's plenty of artists that put out songs that they still scratch their head and say, I still wonder if maybe the second verse I should have said this or if the bridge we should have done that. And it's ironic because I think it was either this morning or yesterday, I heard the song More Than Words by Extreme. And I thought, now see, that's a song where they said, you know what? This is going to be really different. Let's just put this out, vocals and guitar, and that's it. And it's not overthought, and it was different at the time. And it's not a case of, well, let's wait a little longer. Let's see if the market's ready for this. You just got to put it out there, and you'll find out, and then you move on to the next one.
Yeah, and it's like, especially if you're starting out from the beginning and you have to get, you know, fans and people behind you. You know, also, you made me think of something, you know, a lot of times people also put out lots of different versions of things, or even songs get known 5 years after they've been released. So you can always re-release it. You can even take it down and put a new one up. You can do a different version of it. You can do a remix of it. You can do so many things. You can change. So it's nothing's ever set in stone. It's just important to get it out there and to get out there. Really, I really feel that I say this to myself every day with things that I'm working on. I also think a really important one also is, you know, get one fan a day. Make a connection every day to someone in something. It doesn't matter what it is, but whether it's a fan or a business idea or, you know, you're looking for a manager or, you know, it's just like reaching out, looking, data mining things. You know, making connections. I think that's really important. And just one a day, every day.
I love that. I love that. And here's another potential teaching moment, actually. With regards to your experience working with live musicians, what is it like collaborating with instrumentalists and bands compared to electronic producers?
It's the best. It's the best. I mean, it's so fun. I mean, it can be, I've had bands, and bands can be a headache too because you've got all these egos in the room. I've had bands that have tortured me, but in the end, when the show is on, you're just best friends. So, I mean, I just love it, and it's like a language. Music is a language, especially when you're playing, you're singing, you're looking at each other, and you're working off of each other. I think it's just such a special thing if you have that connection to each other as a musician. And that's one of my favorite things, really, is to play with other people.
Is it fair to say that when you collaborate with instrumentalists and bands, live musicians, is it fair to say that that's just the complete opposite of working with an electronic producer?
I don't think it's the complete opposite. I definitely know that I write much different music because it just comes out a little different. But it is really fun to work in the studio with just loops and keyboards. And I mean, even when I work with DJs too, I worked with BT, an amazing musician, electronic producer, and we were in his studio, and we wrote one of our biggest songs called Every Other Way, which is a real classic in the dance world. And we had beats, and we had it's funny, he had a huge box of all these instruments that he's collected from his travels all over the world, and we made this kind of loop with all these acoustic instruments. I think it's just different, but it can be just as fun.
Let's talk about your creative process away from EDM. When you're not writing dance music, what does your creative process look like? How do you approach composing songs that are not built for the club? Because you started to talk in the first half of the show about this artist project of yours, and it sounds like that's what that is.
Yeah, I've been working on it for a while. Well, it's just fun for me because I don't have any preconceived ideas about what the song should be. I'm really working outside the box, even though I think naturally where I come from, I can't escape the pop, the popness in me, the soulfulness in me. I just have a certain way that I write that's classic in its own way, structure-wise. But I actually start sometimes with different things, the piano or the guitar or even loops sometimes, just strings or something like that. And I have a lot of times it's funny because it's like I don't even know where the song's come from sometimes. I don't. And every time I start to write a song, I'm like, how am I going to do this? Even after all the songs I've written. It's very daunting, but I think it's kind of like in the air. You have to catch it. You have to let your heart be open and no rules, no judgment. It's so, easy to criticize and say, because I put so many things away. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. And then opened them up later, and I'm like, oh, that's so good. So it's hard. You kind of have to. I save everything, and it depends what mood you're in too. But I mean, a lot of times I'm always listening and always looking for inspiration. Like someone could be talking next to me and they'll say something, I'll be like, oh my God, I gotta go. Because I'm always looking for things. So I'm watching TV or whatever, looking at, I love to watch live other, musicians, live shows and things. I love to go to shows, but I just try to just vibe on something and come up with I come up with a melody a lot of times and just let words roll out and then try to take it from there. If it's something I think, or I might have an idea, or I might have a chorus, a lyric for a chorus. A lot of times I start that way and just try to build the song around that. There's really no rules to it. I just come up with an idea and a lyric and try to, think of a story that goes with it. Could be even about somebody else, or try to connect it to something in my life. If there isn't a lot of drama going on at the moment, then I need to make some other drama somewhere.
So on that note, this artist project of yours, could there be ballads? And by the way, is there a timeline for this project?
It's got to come out this year because I've been working on it for a while. And I actually have a couple of albums. I have another album that I'm doing this year that is electronic, but it's still, there are some ballads and some things on it. But
Okay.
yes, the artist album is a lot of us ballads and just, it's like blending a lot of genres, but it's definitely not four on the floor or, like the dance stuff that I do. Yeah. It's real songs. I'm a song person. I love a great song. And that's, with the dance music too, take away the beat, take away everything. If you've got a good song, if that's a solid song, you can make that into a great dance song. So, I mean, or any kind of song.
Well, I'm getting excited just hearing you describe this artist project. And I know that those that have come to this episode because they're fans of yours are getting even more excited. So it's going to be fun throughout 2025 to watch for updates and announcements from you as you get closer to releasing that. But it does make me question some of the non-EDM artisan albums that maybe have shaped your artistry. Perhaps those are influencing this artist project, or maybe they have just manifested themselves in your own music in general. Can you maybe give us some examples of non-EDM artists and albums that have impacted you?
Well, I mean, I love classic music. I love Stevie Nicks. I love Elton John. I love Lana Del Rey. I love David Bowie. I think definitely it all. I love Madonna. All those things have influenced me a lot. I think they're just like in my soul, just growing up with them. And when I started writing, I was very into pop, very pop R&B, and I met somebody who introduced me to things I had never, I mean, I knew the Beatles, but I didn't know like everything. And they introduced me more of the Beatles. They introduced me to like things like Van Morrison. And I knew like Angie of the Rolling Stones, but I didn't know everything. So I think a lot of these things I got was very exciting. And I even like Billy Joel. I love stories. I love great songs. So I do tend to go to the classic sort of songs. Even when I listen to the radio, I love to listen to classics.
Well, as we get ready to wind things down, I wonder, other than this artist project, what is next for you in terms of other projects? I think you started to go there a little bit earlier, collaborations, exciting plans for 2025 that fans should be looking forward to.
Well, I do have a pretty tight schedule. I release at least something every month. So
Wow.
I have been working on a lot of things. I have a lot of collaborations coming up, and the Jerome Ismaei one is out now and it's doing very well. I'm so excited about that, Come Alive. And that's more on like the techno progressive house side. And so I have some for my trance fans coming. I have something that's a little more country pop that's coming. That's part of the more artisty things. It's a sort of leading up to that artist album. And just, working on the shows and finishing up. Like I said, I have two albums. I have this one album that I'm releasing with Black Hole, which I work with a lot, a record label in Holland. And that's a little bit more electronic, but more like my first albums, Disconnect and High Glow, which we remixed after. So they're sort of in their pure form. And then I will have the artist album, which is a little more pop
Wow,
R&B.
wow, wow, that is a
And
lot.
all the other ones that I'm doing, the collaborations, yeah, it's like busy. I wake up and I go to bed at 2, and I'm doing music from morning to night. But I love it, and I think it's very, it's addicting music. You just want to keep on creating. It's see what you come up with.
A couple other things that I want to make sure I give you a chance to talk about. One would be, and you started to say it, but since you two have been at it since 2014, like myself, do please tell my audience about your show.
I started the Unleash the Beat show. It was sort of like I was doing like a podcast of some of my different music, not so much just dance, but it was like down tempo and stuff. And I was just so surprised at how popular it became. And when I started to DJ, I decided to do a radio show, and I sort of pitched it to around the world. It's on all over the world now. And I just couldn't believe how much positivity I got. And so, what I had to do was do once a week. I couldn't do it once a month as I wanted to. So I went in full force, and I've been doing it ever since. And it's sort of a blend of some of my tracks and, like three or four, and then a lot of the new releases of the week, because I get promos every week, and it's techno, progressive house, trance, minimal. It's a sort of a mixture of everything, sort of what I would do in my show too. So it's really a way for me to really know what's going on in the music world too, and be in touch with my peers. It's been really, really amazing how much music I get and how the trends change every week. So you really can see all that. And just connecting with people and supporting each other has really been amazing.
Amen.
And it's a lot of work. takes my whole Tuesday, so I do that. You can go to unleashthebeat.com, or it's on many stations, so you can find it all there.
And then there's yet another hat that you wear. I said label owner only when I introduced you, and you mentioned it very briefly, but do tell us a little bit more about your label.
Yeah, we started that, I guess, in 2016. And I really started it to support other up-and-coming artists. It was mostly, for that, because it's so daunting when you're just starting out, and especially in the dance world. And I wanted to show people how to release a song as well, and help them get their sights together and what they should be looking for and doing. So that's why I originally began it. And then I started another branch of it, which is the more pop label, which I release my Christmas songs and some more of my pop releases on as well, to let me be able to do some different things. So I actually have Intonation Axiom, which is the dance part, and then Intonation Records, which is the pop one.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And we learned a lot during the Grammy, because we had to, as a label, take out ads and do all the promotion. And there's a lot of little things you have to do and, to look after all the songs and release them properly, the promotion, the press releases. So it's been a great learning experience. But I think if you could know these things, it just makes you a better artist.
Outstanding. Outstanding. We're going to close today with another original song from Jess, one called Stay the Night. Before I let you go and we play that one, share with the audience first all about this song, Jess, if you would, please.
Well, I love this song. I actually had this song for a little bit of time, and it went through many incarnations. But this song is about taking control of the situation. And this is about a relationship, obviously, because you're asking someone to stay the night. It's about being vulnerable and sort of surrendering to that moment, taking the risk. And, embracing the unknown. So this is Stay the Night.
What a great conversation, as I knew this would be. It's been so much fun having you on the show. Thank you, Jess. You're so busy, as we heard, and I really appreciate you making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
No, I love it. Thank you so much, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to award-winning singer, songwriter, I'm going to say guitar and piano player, DJ, producer, and label owner, Jess. Again, do visit her official website at officialjess.com. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Last month, she released a track called Come Alive, which features a collab with Jerome Isma AE. Since we are not playing it on this episode, do please go look for that. You can get Jess's original music a few different ways. On her official website, tap or click into the store section and then use the CD/vinyl tab there, or get her music digitally from the likes of Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, and more. In fact, she is even on SoundCloud. That's one of the platforms that you can find this show on. As for social media, this morning I followed her on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. She is also on YouTube, as you heard back in the intro, big numbers that are being put up there. Be sure to subscribe to her channel and watch and like the videos on there. For that matter, tell Jess you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. I really appreciate you tuning in to the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you are still with us at the end of the episode, I'm guessing that you're enjoying what you're hearing. So thank you for sticking around. If you would like to show your appreciation for the work I put into making this show happen week after week, year after year, 11 years with no breaks, I've got an easy way for you to do so. Head over to nhte.net where you'll spot a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. It's not a sponsor and there's no brand behind it. It's simply a way for you to send a little support my way with a personal message that I will see. Alternatively, you can go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Your support means the world to me. I thank you in advance. That's going to do it for episode 579. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Jess. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Stay the Night. Well,